Hello everyone, I'm Pete Lyons from Schumacher Racing, and you've tuned in to the latest episode of 300, the RC Racing podcast. Of course, there isn't much RC Racing going on at all at the moment, but we thought we'd do one sort of like just to keep people's spirits up if we can, have a bit of a laugh, and just give people something to listen to, being stuck at home and all of this social isolation stuff, which is really rather rubbish, let's be honest. So I'm joined on the phone by my partner in crime, Alexander Hayward. Please say hello, Alexander.
Hello, Pete. How are you?
I'm in my house, probably like everyone else. Unless they have a mad curtain twitcher, well, reporting on their whereabouts, which, let's be honest, this whole crazy situation has really brought to the fore in England is the curtain twitchers. And I'm okay. I'm thankful. I'm healthy. My whole family is healthy. Not been ill. Not caught anything. I understand the same is true for yourself, is it not?
Yeah, lucky so far. Managed to avoid the thing that's going around. But yeah, not doing too bad.
Good. Well, I guess that you've not really seen much of the outdoors apart from going to your position of employment at CML Distribution. But I was just going to catch up with you and ask you how many times you've been to Kidderminster over the last 4 weeks or so.
It's been pretty difficult, obviously, with the lockdown and the restrictions and the unnecessary travel. But I managed to get to Kiddie a few times to practice, which has been good. There hasn't been anyone there, so the track's been pretty clear. Telford once. I even managed to make a trip up to Robin Hood last week, actually, when the weather was nice. So,
yes.
Still getting a bit of practice in before. Yeah, so I sailed up there in the Chrysler and managed to get a bit of practice in before we resume this season with the club racing in hopefully June. So
managed to get exactly. A bit of track time. Only about 70 pairs of tyres at each visit.
Is that running practice?
Yeah,
of course, we haven't been racing anywhere.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't been anywhere. Of course not. We've all had to observe the rules, okay? Observe the rules and stay home, save lives, as the motto goes, or as the saying goes. So, no, Alexander hasn't been to Kidderminster, Robin Hood, or Telford multiple times in the last few weeks. So, yeah, I mean, it's a really strange time. I can tell you now, in all of my years on this earth, I've never lived through anything like this, and I've been around a lot longer than yourself and probably quite a few others listening to the show. But it has led to a slower pace of life, shall we say, vegetating. Although I am working, I'm still working because I work on my own, mainly because nobody else could put up with me. But I can work on my own, which is great, and I'm very fortunate to be able to do that. But it has led to sort of like some observations. I've been watching lots of films, as I always do. I've been on the Xbox quite a lot. I've noticed something really interesting that I caught up with some films. Now, I know this isn't a massive topic of knowledge for yourself, Alexander, but you will know some of them, I think. Films that have aged poorly has been a really interesting thing that I've seen. Rewatching films that I have on all the subscription things I have and streaming services. So I tried to watch a film I really enjoyed watching many years ago, which was a film called Do the Right Thing, which was a Spike Lee film, I think from 1992, and I remember thinking it was really good back then. And
yeah.
I made it through about halfway this time before I thought it was absolute garbage. Have you seen it? Is my first question.
I haven't. No.
I knew obviously. That was coming.
Obviously not.
No, but it has some amazing actors and actresses in it, though I'd be told off saying actresses these days, wouldn't I? People like Danny Aiello, who sadly just passed away in the last few years, Spike Lee himself, lots of others, really, really good actors in it. And basically, from the opening 3 minutes, which is... not Rosalie, I forget her name now, but she was in White Men Can't Jump, and she's basically dancing over Public Enemy's Fight the Power, which probably looked really, really cool in 92, but now it's just boring and rubbish. And I was watching it thinking, I was really impressed by this when I was like 20.
Yeah.
And now it's just crap, self-indulgent nonsense. So I was really disappointed by that. Which led me to sort of think about other films that I think have aged really poorly. Another one would be The Lawnmower Man, if anybody remembers that, because that relied on cutting-edge graphics,
yes,
computer-generated. Yeah. And have you seen it?
I haven't, no. Obviously. Obviously not.
This is the man, listeners, that I really believe was born in an egg. And emerge at age 30. He seems to have no history of movie going whatsoever. And the Lawnmower Man was like this virtual reality, computers, cutting edge graphics. I remember seeing it at the cinema, and back like then it was like amazing, and it just looks crap now. It's anything tech based, I think.
Yes,
dates.
I think I'd agree with you. There's only one exception, I think, to that rule, which would be probably for me the James Bond series of films, because you watch, I think you accept them for what they are. You know, you watch the ones with Roger Moore and Timothy Dalton. We hate Sean Connery. Yes. Well, I hate Sean Connery, as we all know on the show.
Yeah, Connery, so I don't watch anything Christmas special.
I don't watch anything further back than Roger Moore, and. Yeah, they're awful, really, but they're fantastic for what they are. You know, the kind of whole story behind them, and you just got to accept them for what you see, really.
Yes.
But I did watch on the technical side of things and the kind of special effects subject. I did watch two films over the last few weeks. Rewatched two of my favourite films. Films that I, yeah, forever. So ever since I've first seen them, I've loved them. But I did watch them this time and think, it was, the first one was Jurassic Park, and I absolutely love that film, but I watched it, and the T-Rex, after watching the newer ones as well, the T-Rex graphics and things are just they're not great. The animatronics are fantastic when they actually have the real physical item there, and then they're moving it with the robots, etc. But when the specific scene I was thinking of is when the T-Rex was chasing them in the back of the car, and you got Jeff Goldblum sitting in the back of the car with the T-Rex running towards him, it just it didn't look good, to be honest. I still love the film. And the second one was another film that I've mentioned on this podcast, Twister. I watched that about 2 or 3 days ago, and again, it's one of my favorite films ever. Being a bit of a geography nerd, and it's probably what kind of really sparked me into liking the subject. But again, I watched it and I was thinking, nah, it's not quite, it doesn't quite cut it anymore in terms of the graphic performance.
I love my films. I love both those films, but I think Twister gets passed because of Bill Paxton.
And Helen,
sadly, late Bill Paxton. He was terrific. A great character actor.
It's quite sad actually watching it. Because then there's one bit in the beginning where you see Bill Paxton gets out of his car, and then he greets like his friends who are in the field, who are kind of just getting ready to go on their mission. And the first person he greets is Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Ah, okay, yes, yes, of
yeah,
course.
Who played Dusty. So
much younger
when
then.
You see them,
much younger
when you see
then.
Them hugging at the start of that film, you think, oh man, they're both gone. It's it's quite sad actually.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, that as you get older doesn't get any better. Let me warn you about that.
Yeah.
But yes, that's obviously Philip Seymour Hoffman. Another one went before his time, you could argue. And Twister's great. I mean, I know what you mean about Jurassic Park, but Jeff Goldblum lifts that film, along with obviously Richard Attenborough. And the ensemble cast is great in Jurassic Park. And it was a bit of a sort of it was a blockbuster from the time, really.
It was another film, actually, like 93, I think it was
Avatar.
Avatar.
I watch Avatar now and just laugh at it. Really?
See, that wasn't. Do you remember when that came out?
I shouldn't be surprised, though, should I?
The thing is, I've got it, and I have started watching it before, but I'm not a sci-fi slash fantasy-ish kind of guy, really. I struggle with those kind of films. So for me, it was just, even from the word go, I just thought, nah, it's not going to be one for me. But when it came out, do you remember how much of a storm it caused? Like how everyone was obsessed with it and thought it was the best film that's ever been made?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It was like so well received by everyone, and it's almost like if you hadn't seen it, then you were missing out on like the best thing that's ever been created.
Mm. Yeah, I watched it a little while ago, rewatched it. I just laughed at it. I find myself now rooting for Colonel Quaritch, played by the amazing Stephen Lang. Because I really want him to blow the tree sky high. And it amused me. I believe he actually is in Avatar 2 and 3 somehow. They brought him back.
Second and third one.
I don't know what stage they are at, but they were making them, they were being made concurrently, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Avatar, I think, I don't know why I just laughed at it. I think it maybe was because on repeated viewings, you can see it's very preachy, save the trees, planet kind of message. Not that there's anything wrong with that before people from Extinction Rebellion burn my house down. But basically, because I think it looks preachy. As much as I love Sigourney Weaver and the other character actors in it, it didn't come across very well. So yeah, I'll give you another film that I think I love, but I think has dated in a way when I watched it recently again, is the original Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise. I love the Mission Impossible films. I think they've got stronger and stronger. And the recent one with Henry Cavill as a villain in it was really, really good. I hope they work out some amazing way of bringing him back, because he was really good. But if you watch the first one, they go in to steal the knock list or whatever it is from... where is it from? They go into that computer room, don't they? I forget where it is now. And they have to break in, and he goes in through the air vent. And like, the computer looks like a Commodore PET from 1981. You know, it's technology again. The idea of carrying around a floppy disk with information on it, you know, these days is just astonishing. You know, it's because it's technology based. I think things move on. Speaking of, sorry, were you going to say something there?
No.
Before I carry on waffling. Basically, well, as you've probably noticed so far, listeners, this is probably going to have no RC in it whatsoever. This podcast. If we raise a laugh, one single solitary laugh in the next X amount of minutes that we're recording this, I'll be happy. Speaking of Attenborough. Richard, I was giggling at the thought of and of course these people aren't, but what people do you think might be that you might meet in real life that you think might be really nice but actually really nasty, right? And I laughed thinking about David Attenborough. You know, he comes across as this sort of wildlife genius, doesn't he? You know,
and softly spoken.
You might sort of bump into him maybe, you know, he's somewhere wandering near, I don't know, the Science Museum in London, and you realise, it's David Attenborough. He's probably been you know, they're giving a lecture or maybe doing some research with some of the people there, and you say, "Oh, hello, David, I really love the blue planet," or whatever it might be. And he like, yeah, looks at you, looks you up and down, gives you your evils, and just walks off. You know, doesn't even acknowledge that you spoke to him. You know, yeah. So he's like, oh, Morgan Freeman. That'd be another one, wouldn't it? You expect him to come across like he would out of Shawshank Redemption or something, or out of Batman, you know. Hey, oh, it's amazing, Morgan. Do you want to have a selfie? And he, in that inimitable drawl of his, you know, it's like, no, not really. And left you to it. Come on, give me somebody. Who do you think? Obviously, listeners, I'm sure they're not nasty. Caveat. Who do you think might be nasty in real life if you met them?
I don't know. I think David Attenborough. You must think, though, as these celebrities would gain attention from being out and about in the public eye, they must get really racked off with it sometimes. I'm thinking about, you may or may not have seen this, Father Ted. Have you ever watched Father Ted?
Yeah.
There's that one where they go, I think, to the caves and they see Victor Meldrew. Okay, what program was he in now? What show was he in? One Foot in the Grave, wasn't it?
One Foot in the Grave. Yeah, Richard.
Victor Meldrew, yeah. They see the actor that plays him. And then I remember Father Ted saying to Dougal, you know what I think he'd really love? If I went up to him and said his catchphrase. And Dougal was like, yeah, he'll definitely love that, Ted. Definitely love it. Go, you should definitely do that 100%. He goes up to him and he says his catchphrase. And he just goes berserk and starts punching him.
I'm just thinking of that
kind of situation. Like you could, I don't know, go up to Morgan Freeman or David Attenborough. Just say, oh, I really liked you in such and such. And they just absolutely freak out. Just have these bored to tears of hearing these people say about how good they are.
Yeah, it'd be like Morgan Freeman's doing the he's right, you know me. Can you do the point upwards and say the he's right, you know, and then get you sworn at? It'd ruin it forever. Yeah. You know, you'd never be able to watch Shawshank Redemption again. Hold a grudge. You could hold a grudge for the rest of your natural life against Morgan Freeman because the one time you asked him for a selfie doing that he's right, you know me, he abused you. You know, that drive you into the depths of depression that you met a hero, you know. So there's numerous people that could be like that. You know,
there are those people, always the people that you think, yeah, they're a lovely person. Like, Homely, you know, like, Delia Smith. She'd be another one.
Yeah, Delia. Everyone who was in Steps.
Yeah. H from Steps. Hey. He's, super nice and bubbly on the outside, but are not so nice on the inside.
Lisa Scott Lee.
We won't talk about bubbly on the outside.
She was a bit mental. Bubbly. it's a cover all for lots, that is, isn't it? Bubbly.
Yeah.
That amused me this week, thinking about David Attenborough giving you a mouthful of apps. A tirade would be the word. A tirade of X-rated words, none of which we'll hear on this show. Kids, kid-friendly, family show. And that would be kind of funny. Speaking of you practicing at Kidderminster, as we said earlier, can you believe, and the community, this is about RC, it would have been the Kidderminster National this weekend. And who could have foreseen this only 6 to 8 weeks ago? Astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah, because I remember when we went to the last round of the Telford Mams, and I can't remember if it was cancelled at that point or not, but it was certainly up in the air, and we just never would have imagined it. There we were, probably 40 or 50 of us at driver's briefing, and they're talking about how the region was still planning to go ahead only two weeks after that race meeting was. And then that's how quickly it suddenly went from we were going to try and carry on as normal in the region, especially, to being everything cancelled, club races finished, nowhere's allowed to be open. It all just fell upon us so quickly. It's crazy.
It is, and it's a lovely sunny day today, so it would have been lovely for four-wheel drive today. It wasn't so nice yesterday, but it did brighten up. And I mean, speaking of four-wheel drives, I'm building an L1 Evo here. which is approaching completion, yes. And what an absolutely beautiful car it is, I have to say. Little refinements from the amazing L1 to the Evo. And well done, Tristram. Which leads me into something actually I wanted to mention now, which is to all of our listeners and international listeners, the all-round good egg, egg being the operative word actually in this one, Tristram Neal is trying to raise £5,000 for charity, namely for the NHS, the National Health Service, dealing with obviously the lots of ill people at the moment. And he's going to do that, as I said, speaking of an egg, by shaving off his beard and hair. So I think it's an absolutely fantastic idea. And I think it it is very worthwhile of sport. I do actually remember what Trish looks like without his beard and somewhat with shorter hair. From RC pictures from long ago. But if you want to go online, and if you go to uk.virginmoneygiving.com/Tristram Neal, and that's TristramNeal, so uk.virginmoneygiving.com/Tristram Neal, you can donate to the cause. Which I think is a great thing to do. So check that out, please, people. And as the phrase goes, a good idea is a good idea forever. Yeah. One of David's great quotes, along with another one that I wanted to say, which I think is very appropriate for how we probably all feel somewhat at the moment. And that is, if you want to put up with the rainbow, if you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain. So yeah. Thank you, David. question. Why do clothing brands bother advertising on Facebook? Have you ever looked at the comments?
No, actually. No, this is an interesting one. No, I've not.
I do.
No, I don't know.
Because I often like laughing at them, right?
Yeah.
I saw one this morning and it said, it was something like, get yourself ready to slide into the new shoes for the summer. And it was this hideous pair of black backless men's loafers.
Oh,
and
dear.
Honestly, you should have just seen the comments. It is just, I know the obvious answer is advertising works, but
yeah.
The abuse is just, it's real, it really is popcorn stuff. People talking about, you know, the it's like, I saw one from Diesel the other day, and they get some sort of really, you know, out there looking model who looks generally very dissatisfied with their life. And he was like in an industrial setting, holding on to like a steel girder. And honestly, he looked like the clothing is just ridiculous. It's like a jacket that looks like a UV jacket you'd wear if you were working on a road gang, working on the M1 widening project. Not there's anything wrong with that, but I wouldn't necessarily pay £600 for the jacket when you could probably get it for about 25 quid off the market, you know. And people, the comments people make, just abusing them. Another one who's absolutely a classic for it is, have you ever seen Father and Sons?
No.
I mean, you could argue that they're getting promotion from this to hundreds of thousands of people that listen to us.
Yeah.
And theirs are just fantastic because they're always, shall we say, guys who go to the gym an extreme amount. Shall we say?
Okay. Yeah.
In extremely tight clothing that I'm sure will actually cut off blood flow.
Yeah.
And they have models that look like David Beckham, but aren't him really, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And just I would look down the comments. I'm sure some of the listeners have seen this, where people will Photoshop them and they've got like tiny little things. right? And they've made the arms enormous. You know, and honestly, it's just laughter. It's just, I love something I love, and I often say to my good lady about this, I love the British public sense of humour when they get going on things. Yeah. Obviously, it probably isn't just the British, the people who comment on this, but when people get going on ripping the Mickey out of these brands, it's great stuff. It's better than paid comedian stuff. It really is great. And it goes for a lot of things where these sponsored adverts come up, and it's just non-stop abuse, I think.
You know, so I say no advertising, all advertising or all publicity is good publicity, isn't it, really? Because it gets people talking,
isn't it?
Yeah, it gets people talking about the brand.
I think it was Oscar Wilde who said the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. Which can definitely help anybody who's found themselves being abused on Twitter for whatever reason it may be. I saw a tweet this morning that did make me laugh, and it was said, "Welcome if you've just joined Twitter, because there will already be people on here that are angry at you." And that rings true if you've ever spent time on that platform. It's an absolute sea of venom, I think. Is what I would say, and it's probably not something I'd get into, but coronavirus, shall I say, policing. One thing I will talk about the coronavirus policing is something that made me laugh the other day. Is I saw on a local news article, a bit like if you have Coventry. Do you have like Coventry Live on Facebook?
Coventry Live. I never. Talking like linking it with advertising, I never actually go on to their site or their I've not got Facebook anymore, but I never go onto their site because it drives me insane. Like, you know, the amount of adverts that come up, like you're trying to look at one page and you're using like a relatively good computer, like you see, not like something from the 1990s. It's not like a Commodore Amiga or Amiga Commodore, whatever it was. It's that you're using relatively modern equipment, but the sites are just so slow and so laggy because they just try and bombard you with stuff you just don't want to see. So I rarely now visit that particular site, and it's full of those adverts at the bottom of the page where it say things like, look, you know, kind of clickbait. It says, look where, I don't know, let's go back to David Attenborough, look where David Attenborough lives now, you will be shocked. And then you have to click through about 40 slides of different celebrities' houses before you get to the fact that he lives in like a normal nice house in the countryside.
Yeah, where he's lived for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
There's loads of that, shocked, isn't it? It'd be like, Coventry and mum made 50 grand.
See how you do it. And then you start clicking through all these slides. And then each slide says the same thing, but in a slightly different way. She made £50,000 in 1 week. In seven days, she made £50,000.
Yes.
Each one you go through, it just basically repeats the same thing. So there, that's one, picture, one thing that grinds me down.
Usually a picture of a very attractive model who you just know isn't from Coventry.
She's probably from Los Angeles or somewhere like that,
That's not, can I just say with a caveat, David Brentstar, that's not to put down any girls from Coventry, can I just very quickly say. It is merely added to the to taking the mickey out of those style of clickbait adverts. So if you're going to do it, take care and be safe. Okay. So as I was saying, I hate those. I hate those things. But I have Cambridgeshire Live, which, as I've informed the listeners once before, talked about, you know, where are the nearest coronavirus cases to you or something in the next county? And it was actually in Devon or something. That's not the next county by a long way. But it said, Cambridgeshire police cordon off park as they have found remains. Okay. I first thought, oh dear. Okay. Remains. As it turned out, they were animals' remains. Okay. Probably found the remains of someone's fish supper. But I've used myself thinking, given the policing at the moment, It was actually the remains of a picnic they found. So they cordoned off the entire park, right? And seven wagons turned up with Her Majesty's Finest, ready to crack the skulls of probably a couple having a picnic in a completely empty park. Because that's where we're at the moment. I've got to say, I've never seen such stuff that disappoints me about the British public, who are taking photos, for example, of people having a walk and then putting it on Facebook and saying, why have these people not been locked up? Look at them spreading the virus out having a walk. They've quite neglected the fact that they are themselves also out having a walk.
Yes.
Yeah. And they've They're taken exactly a photo of somebody having a walk, asking them to be beaten to death by police officers for having their entitled allotted exercise whilst they themselves have a walk. I don't understand
the insane thing. I know.
I don't understand it. Listen, if you're in Coventry these days and you get burgled, don't ring the police and say, please come and help me, I'm being burgled. Ring the police and tell them you're having a picnic. I'll tell you what, there'll be six cars around there before you know it. And this is where we're at. And it's brought out the worst of the curtain twitching. It's depressing. I'm being serious here, slightly.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you.
It's depressing to see.
It's people just trying to grass each other up for doing the right thing, really. Like, they say you can go out for an hour of exercise a day or go for a walk or whatever, but people are so quick to try and criticize people and openly criticize people on social media. It's not nice to see, really.
No.
And unfortunately, since this has all kind of started and whatever, it's kind of brought out the worst of some people, or the best in others, but the worst in some.
I completely agree. I find it annoying as well. Obviously, you have to sift through the stuff that may not be true. There's no way of knowing. But I, for example, saw today that some neighbour had put on an elderly woman's door a note saying, no visitors, no family, nobody coming to stop. Police have been informed. And the person actually gone round to drop her off some shopping because she's elderly. And that stuff drives me mad, because if it's true, okay, that's what I'll say, if it's true, just mind your own business. Is what I'd say, and just leave people alone. You know when things are potentially a bit stupid, and yet 50 people around somebody's house for a house party, probably not a good idea at the moment. But I wouldn't even dream of ringing the police if I saw somebody dropping off somebody's shopping. I'd think, maybe they can't go out for
it's
some
just wasting
reason.
The
cars, exactly.
Yeah, wasting time. Yeah.
Their car's broken down, they can't get out, they're under the weather. What's wrong with you?
You just don't know the circumstances behind it. There's one that got me that I saw on the news a few days or maybe a week or so ago, where there's a holiday lettings company, or there's some kind of seafront type holiday cottages that people rent out during the summer or whatever for families who want to go on holiday. But obviously they've got no bookings at the moment, so they've actually let them out to NHS workers in the local hospital, so they haven't got to go home to their family and potentially spread if they've caught anything at work. So they're basically living in these holiday cottages. And people had gone to these buildings, so these cottages that the NHS workers were staying in, and spray painted on the front of the building, go home, go away, social distance, and all those kind of phrases, to try and intimidate them to leave. But they obviously don't know the situation. They don't know the fact they work at the hospital, and they're living there to stay away from their family, to keep their families safe. They're living there on their own. These people are assuming these people have gone there on holiday to spend some time there. And they're just jumping the gun and having a go. And you just look at the bigger picture. You're just so ill-informed about what's actually happening. And they're so quick to kind of jump on people with this kind of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just keep your beak out, isn't it? You know, stop being nosy.
Phrase, yeah.
It is. I love that one. You're sticking your beak in.
Your beak.
Yeah. Keep your beak out. You know, it's not necessary. I have to say it's a bigger issue. And I know that a great deal of the police are working very hard and doing the right thing. But I don't believe the police have in some circumstances covered themselves in glory with these somewhat ridiculous extra powers that have been given. A lot of people also don't understand the difference between the law and guidance, because they're not the same. The police are there to enforce the law, not guidance. So Michael Gove can't come out and say, well, about an hour's exercise is suitable. And then the police take that as, well, you're allowed an hour, because the legislation doesn't say that. And I think that's what a lot of the confusion often is. Recently, Cambridgeshire police got themselves in hot water for, what should I say, they described their words, an over-exuberant officer tweeting about being in Tesco's Bar Hill, checking, being pleased that the non-essential aisles were empty of shoppers. Nowhere does it say anything in the wording about essential items. And this is where things go. And Stan, if I'm correct on that one, but it's to do with the word essential. They shouldn't be policing the aisles. It absolutely blew up on Twitter, and they described the officer, as I quote, as over exuberant. Now, nobody who has a warrant card and can deprive somebody of their liberty should be over exuberant. Okay. That's what I would say. You shouldn't be over exuberant. You should be very reserved and cautious with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's a serious responsibility. Basically, I've seen an awful lot of times, I think police should just stay off Twitter, I think is the major thing.
Yeah.
I believe the police service of Northern Ireland were picking, they told a mum she couldn't be in her front garden with her autistic child. That also happened, I think, in Rotherham. South Yorkshire police made complete fools of themselves over that as well. So I don't want to be going into too much police bashing, but I don't think it's been really very good, some of what I've seen, and a lack of understanding in police officers between what is law and what is guidance is somewhat concerning.
Yeah.
However, here we are. And that's the last thing I wanted to talk about, really. It's something that I've seen recently that really gets on my wick, is people who use nouns as verbs. Okay. Nouns as verbs. When did this become a thing? Well, actually, as I've done some research, it became a thing quite a long time ago. Shakespeare did it. But the phrase that's really got me is, I saw the other day somebody tweeted, I've got quite good at this adulting thing. Okay. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate it. Yeah. Don't you?
Yeah.
Adulting.
It's great. It's because it's kind of made up terms.
Yeah. Yeah. It's adulting. It's nouns as verbs. That naming words as doing words, as I would have been told at school. I don't like them. And they go along with the worst of the office babble speak, isn't it?
Mm.
Things like become a change agent. I hate that as well. Obviously, the classics that everyone knows, the blue sky thinking, you know.
Yeah.
Let's put that idea on ice. You know, another awful one I saw, which was to examine something in great detail, is let's get on all fours. I mean, just awful. Yeah. If I was in a Zoom meeting, I would just want to leave immediately if I heard any of those terms.
It's a corporate world, isn't it? I'm pretty sure you've been a part of it before, haven't you? From what we spoke about in the past.
Sadly.
And I had a brief spell in that kind of sector.
Environs.
I absolutely hated it. I couldn't stand all that kind of corporate nonsense. It's just so false.
Yeah, it is.
I had to get out. Yeah,
it is. I just wish people would speak normally. You know, not use these phrases. I would ban them. I would. If I was Richard. What's his name? Who's a guy who used to run Virgin? What's his name? Richard Branson.
Oh,
if I was Richard Branson, in between suing the NHS, I would ban any kind of management speak like that from any meeting I was in. on pain of being sacked. Do you think that's a bit reactionary?
No, I think why can't they just speak to us or speak to people like you normally would? The kind of stuff they come out with is not like how they would normally act or behave to anyone else outside of work or outside of that conference building or that conference room. Why can't they just speak to you like a normal person?
Yes, I agree. Instead of saying I'm getting quite good at this adulting, just say something like, I think I've looked after my children rather well today. Or, you know, I did my shopping today and I didn't forget anything.
Yes.
Just normal phrases.
I managed to get two loads of washing done and it's dried.
Yeah. And I didn't even use a tumble dryer because I saved money at these lean times.
Oh, Pete, you are really good at this adulting thing.
Honestly. I will end your life if you ever use that phrase at a race meeting with me. Adulting.
In your direction.
I need another great one. So was that I need some eat. No.
Some eat,
I'm hungry. And, That's better. That's better, I think. So that's kind of it really of nonsense that I thought about just an interim podcast because it's been about a month since we did one, and I did promise on the last one I wouldn't leave it so long before we got back on the phone. But we do have an extra special guest on the next podcast, which I won't tell you who it is, but it will be very soon. So that's going to be a great one to listen to, I think. Alexander, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I'm really excited for that one.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really good. So I hope we've raised some chuckles. Hope that it's helped you either enjoy your day at home or was soothing enough to put you to sleep for a little nap on the sofa in between putting on some laundry and going shopping. So thanks as always to you guys, our listeners. For which, if we didn't have you, I'd basically be just on another phone call with Alexander doing what we normally do every day, which is discuss this sort of rubbish, just that we record it and let you listen in. So thanks for joining us. Catch us on the next show with an extra special guest. And what was it David Brent said? If you're going to do it, take care and be safe. Was it 1 in 10? Ooh, a bit high, I think.
But
look after yourselves, all of our listeners. God bless you wherever you are in the world. Little aside, I did watch a great film 2 days ago called I Can Only Imagine, and that was after being very much disappointed by trying to watch Do the Right Thing again. I Can Only Imagine was a superb film. I really, really enjoyed it. I can recommend it to anyone. And God bless, guys. Take care. Catch you on the next podcast. Catch you soon.
See you later.
Say goodbye, cheers. Alexander. Say goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.